Wasn't it great last week to see Stan bring his favourite armchair in and his table with his coffee all set? I was quite amused because it struck me as a sort of halfway between Andy Stanley sitting with his table and his Bible and so on, and Reverend I.M. Jolly. Sometimes he had things in his glass on the side of his table which were not just water, unfortunately. And I thought about bringing a sunbed, but I'm of old school. I need my notes. I wish I was Stan without notes, but there you go. So that was good. And what I want to say today is based on a few words from Acts. Acts 2:14a. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. Let's pray. Father, there's few words here, Lord, from Scripture, from your word. I pray that you would open them up and make them alive to us as we consider their significance. Pray your Holy Spirit would anoint these words and all that we hear and speak about this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I've picked these few words to speak about. And we've talked a lot about the words that precede this. All the thoughts of Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples, the apostles, and it's interesting to reflect back on the fact that there were possibly a lot of people in that room when the Holy Spirit came upon them. We would read in the previous chapter how 120 believers met in one place for prayer and worship. And they were expecting something to happen. They weren't sure what. And we also read a lot about Peter, who led these disciples to step up and step forward. Peter, the brawny fisherman, the first disciple chosen, the one who was privileged to be on the mountaintop with Jesus when he met with Moses and Elijah. It was Peter that walked on water. It was Peter who denied knowing Jesus. And it was Peter who took the first step into the tomb to search for Jesus' body. And as Stan was pointing out last week, it was Peter who said in response to Jesus, saying, "Who do you say that I am?" came back with that awesome realization. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But Peter was not alone in all this. There were 11 others, now including the replacement for Judas, Matthias, and he also had been with Jesus. And we should also note that before all this happened, before they stepped forward, they'd been keeping quite a low profile. The resurrection of Jesus had not banished all their fears. It had not answered all their questions. After Christ appeared to them, they had expressed mixed emotions between faith, joy, and bewilderment. At times they met behind closed doors. They were living in fear that they might be the next ones to be taken, and without good reason, not without good reason. Jesus had been executed by the Roman authorities, but it was the Jewish religious hierarchy that were stirring up the people. And of course, Peter had received a prophetic word from Jesus that he was to die a martyr's death. So all the disciples were in no doubt about the potential consequences of their breaking cover. And yet under the newly imparted anointing of the Holy Spirit, they chose to go public together. Peter was not alone in taking this bold step, but he stood with the new 11. They stepped up to the plate together. And I suppose the 12 disciples would recall the words of Jesus when he said to them to stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven, or as some versions say, clothed in power. And the disciples had been together in a very close relationship with Jesus and with each other for several years. They had been a very intimate relationship as they learnt from Jesus the whole concept of the kingdom of God. And that ultimately led to Peter expressing that understanding, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." What a profound statement that was indeed. And we need to also grasp the significance of Acts chapter 14, verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They could see that they were ordinary men and had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They were ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. These disciples were not superheroes. They were ordinary men who had been with Jesus. To stand up and step forward like they did, we need to have a close walk with Jesus. To be in his presence daily, hourly, minute by minute. Andrew Murray in his daily devotional says, "If we are to follow Christ, to have his mind in us, to live out his life, we must seek to regard the fullness of the Spirit as a daily provision. It's only as we are led by the Spirit that we can abide in Christ." And he also said, "It is through the Holy Spirit whom Christ Jesus will manifest himself to us in nothing less than his abiding presence." And so began the ministry of the disciples. And the message I want to get across today is, like Peter and the disciples, we need to stand and step up and step forward. Time to leave the comfort zone. It's not that we're currently facing persecution, but in different ways we might be called to courageous living. I guess we're quite comfortable here in Queen Anne. We come, we set up, we do our stuff, then we pack up and we go home. And many of us actually are involved in lots of other things, serving the needy community in one way or another. But how many more opportunities lie ahead when we're going to be working out of our new building, the Liberty Centre? And again, as Stan said some weeks ago, we are called to lend our hands to that building task, but not just to the actual building, but to the outworking of what the building is to represent in our community. We need to stand up and be counted. John recently spoke about the trip to Encounter Moor that some of us were at in Northern Ireland, the Causeway Coast Vineyard. And Paula and I were a couple that were part of that conference, and it was a great thing to be at. We were impressed by the events, the teaching, the prayer, and the scale of the outreach in the surrounding 10-mile area. And one of the speakers was Pete Gregg, again somebody who Stan mentioned last week, and I bought his book, Red Moon Rising, while we were at the conference. And I read it on holiday recently. And it tells a story of how 24/7 prayer movement started. In fact, what it says on the back is, Red Moon Rising is the best-selling story of how a single unsuspecting prayer meeting self-seeded into the lives of more than 2 million people in more than 12,000 locations, most denominations, and more than half the nations on earth, from prisons to palaces. It's a powerful account of pain and perseverance, fighting injustice and experiencing miraculous answers to prayer. Well, when I first thought of 24 hours, 7 days a week prayer, I thought that might be a bit heavy. But it's actually an explosive evangelistic outreach in our modern time. And the prayer rooms are kind of preparation centers for outreach. They are not just people sitting around in a circle praying. They are places where people go in and their senses take them through a whole journey of prayer activity of one sort or another. The place is decorated so that it leads you to think through and listen to music perhaps. And it was quite inspiring to read how it works. I'll read one little extract from the book here. This is a guy called John Dawson, a man who's written extensively on prayer. And he writes, everyone prays, even non-Christians pray. The difference when Christians do it is that they are climbing into the lap of their Heavenly Father. A prayer room is not some giant spiritual slot machine. Just put in enough money and you're guaranteed a can of Coke. A prayer room is first and foremost a living room. A place where the Father waits for His children to come and climb into His arms. It's a place where we can experience peace so that we can make peace later. A place where we can accept forgiveness so that we can live out our lives as priests at work. A place where we receive our Father's acceptance so that we can love even those who laugh at us later in the day. Getting the balance right between intimacy and the prayer and involvement in this world is never easy. But if we're going to reach a generation, it will be the intimacy of prayer room, of the prayer room, that keeps us meaningfully involved in the mission of God. And all over the world, even as we meet here today, there are places where there will be celebrating 24-hour prayer. And most of them will be non-religious places, nightclubs, pubs, subways, anywhere where there's a desperate need that people have to find an alternative to their current way of living. Two weeks ago, we were on holiday in Mallorca. And we were walking along the seafront, browsing through the shops and things, and passing all these nightclubs that were closed, obviously, through the day. And it just brought back the thought of all the prayer ministry that was going on in various clubs around the world. And in fact, Ibiza, which is known as the club capital island, 24/7 send out teams to evangelize and work among the drunken, drug-fueled young people that you find in these places. And my bookshelves at home are full of books that I've collected over the years and been inspired by, of people who have been inspired by the Holy Spirit to go out and witness and challenge and evangelize to people all over the world. And I'm just glad that today is no different from all those times that I read in the past. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. And Peter goes on to quote the prophet Joel. Acts chapter 2. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all my servants, men and women alike. They will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon to turn blood red before all that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those words have meant a lot to the people that write in this book, 24/7. And it was the fulfillment of that prophecy that these disciples with Peter stepped forward and stepped up. And it wasn't just all healings and evangelistic successes that followed. There were other needs that were met with the involvement of the disciples. They ensured the needs of widows and orphans were taken care of, and they involved in raising funds for people suffering from famine in various places. And down through the ages, since Christians have found ways of helping people in society who are in need through medicine and education and poverty and housing and so on. But going back to the conference in Coleraine, Paul and I attended a seminar about a major ministry they called Compassion. The statistics are amazing. The list of outreach activities is comprehensive. I counted 14 on that leaflet. They do CAP work, both what we do plus the job clubs. They have a drop-in coffee bar, arranged to get people in voluntary work. They do recovery support groups, clothing distribution, food bank, life skills, single mums group, even an oil heating savings scheme, and run a community allotment. And they're about to build on a site beside the church, a compassion building to house all of these outreach ministries. And they have already got 9 full-time staff, 2 part-time staff, and 298 volunteers. Whole transformation, whole life transformation is their watchword. And I know we currently have people deployed with CAP, Choices, Food Bank, Street Pastors, and a great outreach ministry through Light and Life. But I think it's time to see what fresh initiative Jesus might be calling us to get involved with. When the 12 launched the gospel into the world, they didn't know that they weren't just spreading the word that Jesus lived, died, rose from the dead, and left his Holy Spirit of power that transforms us, transforms lives. They started something of compassion that has cascaded down through the ages. And now it's our turn, our time. Just read you one more extract from this book. Just as Jesus spent his time at parties, among the crowds, engaging with the disreputable and apparently non-religious, so today he seems surprisingly comfortable among the crowds of partygoers and non-religious pilgrims of our time. Perhaps he longs for us to vacate our buildings from time to time, to turn our temples into tabernacles, to become like him, the friend of sinners. We are the light of the world, but no one wants to stare at the bulb. We are the salt of the earth, but a whole plate of the stuff will make you sick. The people of God are called to scatter and mix, to mingle and move, to influence from a position of weakness, like a small child in a large family, like yeast in a loaf, like mustard seed, a mustard seed beneath a path. We must never forget that we are people of power. And Jesus did say, go and heal the sick. And people do that. But I read also in Matthew, for I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the early church father Chrysostom pointed out, we don't hear, I was sick and you healed me, or I was in prison and you liberated me. Jesus said, I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Works of mercy, simple deeds. And in those simple deeds, we serve Jesus. In Causeway Vineyard, practice healing in the streets with a huge, powerful testimony of healings. But they're also engaged in all those other levels of care for all situations. So let me finish by saying these things. People are called up in all sorts of circumstances and need help of one sort or another. Compassion should be our aim. If you've been with Jesus, if you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then it's time to stand up and step forward. We haven't got the building up and running yet, but I think it's time that we get our minds into gear, focus on Jesus, focus on hearing what the Holy Spirit tells each one of us would be the thing that we might get involved with, the thing that we might start, the initiative we might own. It's time to stand up and step forward. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you still pour out your Holy Spirit upon us today. Lord Jesus, thank you that we still experience being with you. Thank you for the example of the disciples standing up and stepping out in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to seize the opportunities that present themselves to us. Or seek to recognize opportunities to serve you further in your kingdom and this locality. Lord, we choose today to stand up, step forward into your calling on our lives.